May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord.
Amen.
Amen. A unifying theme in the two lessons in the gospel this morning are the challenges, the burdens, and the cost of discipleship. Now, a disciple is one who follows a wise and loving teacher or guide. I've always loved the idea that when the student is ready, the teacher will come. In our first lesson, after much turmoil, Moses has settled into a quiet and contented life, tending his father-in-law's flock. But he still retained a spark of alertness and curiosity. So when, in dramatic fashion, God revealed himself, Moses came forward. Despite understandable trepidation, Moses accepts his ministry of discipleship. He is to confront the Pharaoh and lead the Israelites to freedom. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus warns that discipleship is a difficult, perhaps dangerous, ministry. And in this chapter of the Epistle of the Romans, Paul presents a very specific job description of discipleship. In a way, Jesus and Paul are sort of a good guy, bad guy team. Jesus is deliberately stern. He tells his followers that discipleship requires self-sacrifice. Take up your cross and follow me. And whoever wants to save their life will lose it. I think Jesus wants to weed out the faint-hearted, or to use a phrase from Thomas Paine, the sunshine patriot. Because Jesus knows rough roads lie ahead. Some will eventually grow frightened and weary and will fall away. Paul, on the other hand, is warm, affectionate, and engaging. He sets the tone in the very first sentence, love must be genuine. Love and sincerity are linked, as are all aspects of discipleship. Those of us of the 1960s Beatles era will remember their song, All You Need Is Love. A tad simplistic and naive, perhaps, but looking at the totality of the words of Paul and Jesus, they were all about love. One attribute in Paul's description of discipleship is hospitality. We practice hospitality both on a personal basis and as members of a Christian community. Of course, hospitality is more than offering food and drink and rest to friend and stranger. Most importantly, it is the spirit in which hospitality is offered. It is the warmth and sincerity of the welcome, the graciousness of the sharing, and the genuine focus on comfort and rest. I cannot think of a better example of individual and community discipleship through hospitality than the recent Amazing Grace. Children who were initially strangers were surrounded by people who genuinely cared for their well-being of body, mind, and spirit. Now, I wonder, do you ever stop to think why you have chosen to be a disciple? Well, actually, you became a disciple at your baptism when you entered into the household of the Lord. But at some point, each of us makes a purposeful decision and commitment to be a disciple of Jesus. In the past, I've spoken of the importance of intentionally choosing each day to be compassionate. The same can be said of discipleship. Logically, it must then follow that we know why we have chosen this lifelong commitment, and to have a vision of what discipleship will look and feel like. As we move into the fall season, I invite you to think about your ministry of discipleship. Now, I have spoken of hospitality as discipleship. However, Paul identifies so many other pathways. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. As far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Are you being led to forgive a soul-searing injury? Are there strained or broken relationships you yearn to heal? Paul cautioned the Romans, do not repay anyone evil for evil. He was writing in the context of the persecution of the early Christians, and at first we may not feel this resonates in our world today, or at least in the United States. However, in our daily life, of the internet, the 24-hour news cycle, and the phenomenon of the social media, all too frequently, simply watching the international news is, to me, seeing and feeling evil. At those times, I am hard-pressed to resist the temptation to give in to deep anger. So all I can do is turn my anger over to God, seeking to become willing to become willing, to seek and to see beyond the stark brutality, and to try to remember that we seek not spiritual perfection, but spiritual progress. We then wonder, how does each of us discern our unique ministry of discipleship? Well, it begins with having conscious contact with Jesus. Discernment and clarity comes about in those quiet moments with Jesus of meditation in holy silence. Or perhaps we see a news story, read an article, hear a homily, study scripture, and think, yes, that's what I want to do. There is where my talents lie. That is what I am called to do. I mentioned earlier that Jesus warned that discipleship is hard. But Jesus does not only give us a grim picture. He went on to say, whoever loses their life for me will find it. At another time, Jesus said, take my yoke, and you shall find rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus also left us the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. Whenever we participate in this liturgy, we do so as individuals and as part of a discipleship of community. Each time we receive Holy Communion, we are refreshed and strengthened in body, mind, and spirit. Finally, Paul reminds us we can do all things through Christ. In the song, All You Need Is Love, John Lennon wrote, there's nothing you can do that can't be done. No one you can save that can't be saved. It's easy. All you need is love. Love is all you need. Amen.
Amen.